We're on the last letter of the word bless. So far, we've walked with beginning in prayer. And we were all given a card. I don't know how many of the cards are left yet. But it's called the Bless Lifestyle. Because what this whole process has been is to help equip each and every believer with tools, resources, spiritual growth on how to reach others for Jesus. And we all know that not everybody is as comfortable. Oh, I want to tell you about Jesus. I don't know who you are. What are you going to do? Stuff like that. We're working through a book written by two brothers. And they brought up a valid point of, you know, they tried all the evangelism methods, the four steps two, and the Romans Road, and the Billy Graham evangelism group, and all that. And those are all good, because it's all knowledge. It's all words and things that help us it going in our way. And yet there's still those moments some of us are like, oh, I don't know if I have enough of that. Oh, like, you know, can I do that? Is this going to work? And so they started praying and saying, God, like, is there something that just makes, just doesn't seem so onerous, so heavy, so formal, so structured? Because, I mean, there's a time and a place for the structure. There's a time and a place for solid teaching. But in your day-to-day living, do you really want to sit down with someone at the coffee shop and say, we need to go through the book of Romans together today so you can get to meet Jesus? And you honestly do need to know verses in Romans. You do need to know this word from the first verse to the last verse. And so when we are praying, and when you're praying for someone, God will give you a verse for them, or a verse for you to use. Now, if you're like me, Concordance is my favorite book of the Bible. It's the one at the very end, because it has all the cool words that are in every verse. And I will remember a sentence in a verse, but I'll remember one word and go to the Concordance to be able to find it in Scripture, and to make sure I'm using it in the context that it was written in Scripture. So, then we talked about listening. That was the other time that I shared. And do we really listen? Do we listen to answer? Do we listen to talk over? Do we listen to hear the sound of our own voice? Or are we listening to hear what the Spirit is saying when we're having a conversation with someone? This week, it's fascinating what God does. Pastor Ralph and I were talking about it this week, that with Evangelist Chuck Price coming and talking about freedom and the Holy Spirit and all that, and then all these little things start popping up, like just little kind of annoyances. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. And you just kind of go, okay, we are free in Christ. And that's what we're going to be worrying about. So from this time forward, keep praying for God to keep us focused on His Word for our lives at this time. Because this is a work that is beyond our scope of abilities and talent. It is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, through us, to others, and how that's going to impact the community. So one day, soon, I pray, people will just start walking in because I had to go to church. I don't know what church is. What does this look like? What are we doing here? And we get to present Jesus. We get to present Jesus. Maybe not having them memorize all of Romans the first week, but we get to present Jesus. First, by how we live for Him. How we listen for Him. Because He will speak with us and through us in those moments when we're with individuals. Now, I know you guys are going to think I spend a lot of time in secondhand stores and dollar stores, and I do, in one sense. But this week at the dollar store, I'm trying to get around. I was getting stuff ready for our students who are staying with us in service today. And these two ladies were having a very animated, clearly enunciated conversation about politics and world travel and on and on. And they really were standing right in front of the one thing I wanted to look at. And I'm like, you know, like, do I do the reach? Do I do the Canadian thing? Oh, may I get through here, please? Or should I just go around the other way, see if I can sneak in from the other side of the aisle? And things like that. And they got to chatting, and one of the conversations was, what it's like to travel as a, and they had both experiences, one divorced or a widow, either, they both had, what it's like to travel like that in other countries in the world that have very different ideas. So it was an engaging conversation, and it was interesting, but I really just wanted the coloring book that was over there. And so I was like, okay, Lord, teach me patience, because it's not my strongest suit at times like this. I want it in, out, get done. And so that conversation ended. We all said, oh, it was nice to chat with each other. On we went. So I go around to another aisle to find more things, and this one lady has followed me. She says, by the way, she says, you seem to be a rather interesting person to get to know. I'm going, you're the one wearing some cool clothes from other countries. I've just got blue streaks in my hair, and I'm, you know, in my jeans and my hoodie. And she said, you know, what's your background? What's your interest in these things and in these other countries? And I said, because you're knowledgeable of some of these customs. And I said, well, we have friends who are missionaries in a lot of these countries that have customs about single women or marriage or divorced or widowed or the cultures, right? And she said, missionaries? I said, yes. She said, do you go to church? I said, well, I'm actually a pastor. Like, what do you do? I'm not saying nothing. Yeah, I am a pastor. Well, you know, what do you do? I said, well, I work with our families and our ministries in the families and our community events and that. I said, and I'm actually preaching this Sunday. You're what? I said, yeah, because, you know, she says, well, like, are you a pastor, like, ordained? I said, yeah, actually, I am. And she thought it was the coolest thing in the world. So I'm looking around, seeing if she's actually showed up today, because I didn't get her name. But it was a God moment. And I know quite a few years ago we talked about, we went through a whole little discussion and commentary on what was called the prayer of Jabez, please enlarge my borders. And in all honesty, don't pray that unless you mean it. Truthfully. Don't pray for patience unless you mean it. Don't pray for your loved ones to come to know Jesus unless you mean it. And in order to mean it means we need to share our story. Or other letters in the word bless was to eat, fellowship, get to know somebody. Believe it or not, people relax, become more open when they're having coffee or tea or bubble tea or whatever with you, and a snack or a meal. And you let God lead you as to how fellowship with someone that you're praying for is going to look. Because you know what? Each of us has a different approach, a different connection with those people that we're praying for, and we need to let God do what he wants to do in that. And then to serve them in whatever way you can, to just open yourself up and say, whatever it is, how can I help you right now? That was part of listening. It's a great question to start with, listening. How can I help you in this? But then follow up with it and do it. So Ralph, so very graciously, in front of former district officers, said that I would be very eloquent in talking about the word sharing. That's the last letter in the word bless, to share your story. Now, in all honesty, and I'm looking around this room, and I see that we have some pastors, we have business people, we have home marketing that you do, Kathy, with home marketing. We have people who teach. We have people who reach out through arts and entertainment. So each and every one of us has something in our life we are so passionate about. Whether it's your job, your family, your relationships, your community, your volunteer groups, we all have something we're incredibly passionate about. And if I were to say to you, and you all have paper on your rows near you, if you need to write things down, if you didn't bring paper, you could probably convince me of whatever it is you're passionate about within about 5 seconds. Because right at the top of your mind are the things that have drawn you to whatever this is that you do. Whether you sell Mary Kay, Kathy, it's picking on, but out of love. in all honesty, it is. Or you're a teacher, you're passionate about a subject, you're passionate about God's word, you know how to do plumbing, do electrical work, work with people with disabilities. You're passionate about it. And you could probably very quickly write down four or five things as to why you would, the first four or five things you would say to someone else to convince them about the thing you are passionate about. So here's where it gets a little tricky sometimes. All of us as believers have a story. We have our what we were before we met Jesus. We have our what we were doing when we met Jesus. We have our what Jesus did for us points. And we have what Jesus is doing for us. And we have our hope in heaven. But somewhere between us being passionate about other things that are happening here on earth and loving Jesus and serving him, there seems to be a disconnect, a little wall, a barrier, something that says, I could never talk to a stranger about Jesus. Ever. Ever. That just feels really weird. It feels like... I've had one person say, it just feels icky to talk about Jesus to other people. I'm just like, okay. And this is meant to be a time for us to understand that storytelling on its own, just as a topic, storytelling on its own, every great story has the characters in it. It has a setting, a plot, and a resolution. Acts chapter 4, if you want to start there. I gotta find it. I didn't write it out. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 to 20. Here's our story, folks. We're the characters. If you want to know, we're all characters. You can be whatever type of character you want to be, but you're all characters. Me too. We're all a character of some sorts in this story about Jesus in our life. Verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the crowds that were there, saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that these were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, these characters? Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them again and again, Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. The characters in this story, Peter and John, the people around them, a man who was healed and filled with the Spirit. These are all the characters. The setting was probably a temple. They were near the temple. The plot was Jesus was a person of renown at that time. People heard about him. They didn't know what to do with him. Some of them, they didn't, like, we don't know. Like, is he real? Is he just this guy walking around or whatever? But there were people who did believe because he'd already been doing things and doing the job he was called here to do. So their idea of a resolution was, we are commanding you not to speak or teach in Jesus' name at all. We all live in an interesting world right now where sometimes it's, I don't know if I want to say Jesus' name out loud in the grocery store. I don't know if I want to say Jesus' name out loud in our coffee group after our walking group or our cycling group or at work at coffee break or in school with other students. I don't know if I want to say Jesus' name right now because it it's a context, it's a setting. And yet, Peter and John's resolution was this. which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to God? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Now, the outline in the study book for this talks to us about four or five questions, and we're going to be talking first about a question of asking the Holy Spirit. When we are believers in Jesus, when we have given our life to Him, we've asked Him to forgive us of our sins, and we're walking in step, in faith, in obedience, consistently with Him every day, we get to ask the Holy Spirit questions. We get to ask for His help. And so now we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us see our lives as a part of God's grand narrative. We are not just a little blip in time and space here and right now, and nothing else is impacted, just our space here. We're not that. We're part of a grand narrative that starts in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. And it goes right through to the end of Revelation. And the last verse in there that speaks of our relationship with Him is Revelation 1, 21, verses 1 through 5. Because you see, in the garden, Adam and Eve lived in perfect fellowship and relationship with God before the fall. So all the stuff in between Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 1:21 is processes. We find places of our life in any part of those processes throughout this Word of God. Revelation 21 talks about a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. Exactly the phrases Adam and Eve lived in the very beginning. We are a part. While the timelines and when these books were written and all that may be very different from our timeline here, but our spiritual life, the part of what we do as believers here in this time and space in history, the continuum from one end of age to the other end of age, we base all of it on the sustenance, the word, the guidelines, the commandments, the stories, the precepts, the teachings that happen from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation. It's all in there. There is nothing in here that God has not ever seen before. So let us not think of ourselves as being uniquely surprising and tricky about how we're going to mess something up. In all honesty, we're sticking to God's plan, we can't mess anything up. If we're allowing God to work through us and wanting Him to do this through us, He will. We may not get all the questions answered right, or right away. Some questions are really challenging. People have really valid, deep academic, theologic, practical, they have deep questions they don't understand. What would God do? You don't have to know all the answers. But you do know God. And you do know you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you see your life as a part in this plan. We are all a part in this plan, in this space here. It was my part to share God's word at a thrift store this week. Again. Second question we can ask the Holy Spirit is to deepen our understanding of the gospel and to empower us to share it more effectively with others. I'm going to be focused more on the John 3:16 and 17 verse, but Isaiah 61 and 2 is the prophecy. I have come to proclaim the good news. And Jesus, later in Luke, is in the temple, and they hand Him the scroll of Isaiah, and He says, I have come. to preach the good news. This scripture is now fulfilled in me. That's the one of the amazing things in the complexities of following God's word, is things always come together. And there is an integrity and a support and a consistency in God's message for any person. John 3:16, I'm sure we all know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he, that okay, got some peppy voices in there. And hopefully we're reading, oh no, it's not on the screen. We're on to the third slide now. I'm focusing on, that's something we've all learned. If we've done any day camp, vacation Bible school, kids ministry programs, it's one of the verses we teach kids. Jesus loves you. And you know how he loves you, because he sent his son. And if you believe on him, then you get to go to heaven. But there's another verse in that part of the gospel, not just believing on Jesus. Verse 17, I think, is a way in which we can act and live here like Jesus. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus was not sent to condemn us. Jesus was not sent for us to be told you have to feel bad about all the bad things you're doing. Jesus was not sent to judge ahead, but to save. Jesus was sent, his work that he willingly, intentionally, faithfully, and obediently did for his Father, he was sent to save us. He was sent to restore us. He was sent to redeem us. He was sent to reconcile us. He was sent to equip us. He was sent to fill us. He was sent to be there with us every step of the way. And when he left earth in his physical form, the Holy Spirit was given to us to continue this. So when we go back to the first part of beginning with prayer, and you're praying for someone, might be a good idea to make sure your prayers are, Father, this person needs to be saved. And maybe not, Father, this person is an evil sinner. I don't even know how to pray. I'd like to say I could giggle at that right now, but I can't. Because I've had people come to me and say that's the way they pray for people. I don't get it. I don't get it entirely. If they are concerned, if you have a concern about someone you are praying for, that they are wandering off, that they are not in things that they should be in, that are not good for them, that are not bringing them to Jesus, you pray for the Holy Spirit to do the convicting work on them so that they will seek Jesus' face, that they will seek the repentance he offers, that they will seek the redemption. The reason he came to earth was to redeem us. This is not like the grocery store coupon redemptions, but the premise is the same. Jesus gave his life. He exchanged his life on earth so that we could gain eternal life in heaven. Slide 4 is asking the Holy Spirit to reveal your unique role in God's story and to help you live it out with faithfulness and joy. We were somewhere the other day, we may have been having coffee, and the person, I think a couple tables over, I can't recall, but their face was so stern, just whatever. And I thought, ooh, I don't know if they're telling a good story. Like, they could have a problem, they could be upset, concerned, or whatever. And then they smiled, and it's just, wow, that was a transformation. Each of us has a unique role. Your story about Jesus is not my story about Jesus, is not your story about Jesus, not your story about Jesus, not your story about Jesus, but it is a story about how you met Jesus. It is a story for each of us on how you allowed and walked into a relationship with Jesus, whether it was you said, God, I need you to forgive me. I don't know if that's an allowance. I think repentance is not necessarily we're letting God forgive us, but allowing us to come to the understanding that we ask God for forgiveness, that we have lived separate from him. That's one of the results in the beginning of the Bible. It talks about the fall. We all live in all of these things that are happening in the Bible. And with that in mind, who you were before Jesus met you, how it got stirred up in you that you needed to do something about Jesus. It's good to figure out what that was. I'm going to hazard a guess that there's as many people here like myself who are on the 40 to 50 years plus since you first accepted Jesus. May I see some hands? It's been 40 to 50 years or more that you've accepted Jesus. You want to know something? We got some new babies in Jesus here too. And their story is just as valid. It's just as real. It's just as life-changing and fulfilling and everything that God wants it to be because it's an encounter with Jesus. It's an encounter with the one who is so in love with us that he died for us. And that means the same to every person, no matter if it was a commitment made 2 weeks ago or 20 years ago or 40 years ago or even this just this very minute. Your encounter with Jesus is uniquely yours. It is your part of your story as to why you wanted to have a relationship with Jesus and what he brought that about for you. And then we're being asked to look at it with faithfulness and joy. I don't know too many people are successful in, oh, my life's been terrible, but, you know, I asked Jesus to help me. I don't know about you, but I'm better at a little more motivation than that. And I've got I was a soccer coach for my kids for years. That's why once in a while I'll pull up the soccer mom voice, not on the microphone. Sorry, Peter, I won't do that to the sound system. And I was at a tournament. Our kids were at a tournament. We just moved to a new community. We're getting to know people. And the director of the tournament, his name was Dave. And Dave was definitely not a believer in Jesus. But he liked to use his name a lot. And we're at a tournament, and someone pulled an interesting move and, you know, switched a goalie from this kid's group to another group. And he's just like, he is chewing things. Like he's just really not very happy about this particular situation. And so he comes up to me and says, how are we going to fix this? And then he said Jesus' name. And I said, oh, you just prayed. He's like, it's like I hit him with a book or something, right? And I had my soccer cleats on. I hit him with a book, and he's like, what do you mean I prayed? I said, if you're going to call Jesus' name in front of me, I'm going to say it's praying. And he's like, oh, I probably shouldn't do that. I said, unless you want to talk to Jesus and you're praying, maybe not. You know, because that's the only way I like about hearing about Jesus' name. And so the interesting thing is we all have these unique moments that we get to speak about what Jesus did in our lives. And it's unique to each of us because Jesus met you at an issue, a health problem, a financial problem, a family problem, a spiritual, I need Jesus in my life. God met you there, and that is your story. That is your news to tell. So sharing Jesus, not every one of us is going to be up on a platform. Not every one of us is going to be the Billy Grahams or the Priscilla Shearers or any like well-known, like even the worship leaders and stuff like that. We're not all going to be here in this front of house situation. So maybe a reminder to those who are in front of house, there are still people in your day-to-day life that need Jesus, and they need you to be faithful to share him with them. And there are going to be moments wherein, if want to say back of house, it's not. But those who are not up in public ministry, that you, praying for God to give you that spot, that moment, that place to use Jesus' name for all the right reasons. And while you're doing it, love on them. Love on them with faithfulness, with joy. I don't think too many of us are convinced with sad faces and horrible stories of, oh, it was just terrible, I wouldn't want to do that again. We're probably the first ones to say, you know, I'm not going to touch that. I don't know, Kath, have you ever gotten the reviews that people didn't like a product? You know, so they're never going to touch that product again because it was just, ugh, you know? That's not me. I haven't done that. You know? But if you have something in your life you are so thrilled with that works so well for you, you tell people. Like the best pie recipe, best cup of coffee in town, best place to find this, best place to go there for that. People, sisters, brothers, family in Christ, we have got the best news in this whole planet. We have got the best stories to tell because they're ours. We have got the best sense that when we are focused on serving Jesus and we want to be obedient, it'll be like standing in the aisle of the dollar store and God saying, tell them you're a pastor. When we obey, God does the bigger part of the work. He's asked us to obey. He does the rest. I'm heading to 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to start at verse 16. Our unique role in God's story. So from now on, we regard no one with a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Love this verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we become his righteousness. It's not a decision we make that we're going to say, oh, I'm going to just rewrite my story like your little note paper. I'll just change it to the way I want it to look. This is God's story living in us. His Spirit dwelling in us. The presence of his Spirit empowering us. The Spirit guiding us to people, giving us words and moments and situations that we get that amazing blessing to be Jesus for the people around us. I don't know about you, but I'm becoming more and more comfortable with the idea that sharing Jesus isn't the biggest problem in my life. Shouldn't be something I'm afraid of. Because when you know that the Holy Spirit is going to guide you in your words and in the places you meet and in the things that are being said and done in where you are, that the Holy Spirit is already working on that other person too, to receive. So when we're operating in the realm of being a person who knows Jesus and to reconcile people to Jesus by our story, it's an amazing plan. Two more questions. We can ask the Holy Spirit to open doors for you to share your story and to give you words to speak that will point others to Jesus. that verse that says to be ready at any time to give an answer. And guess what? The answer doesn't have to be high theology, quote 27 verses, etc., etc., etc. The answer is, what did Jesus do for you when you were facing this? The last time I preached, I spoke about the owner of one of the secondhand stores wanting to know why I became a pastor. What prompted you? I said, it was my relationship with Jesus. His call on my life. She's like, oh, I need to hear more about this. And we talked. God will always give you the right words to say. That doesn't mean you go in and kind of go, I haven't looked at this. I don't know what it says. I don't know what it means. Because if your heart is for serving Jesus, if you're fully committed to being his child, you're going to want to keep learning the word. The more and more words you learn, the more and more tools and resources God has to use through you. Because his word will never go or return void. His word will always go forward, impact for spiritual reconciliation, for healing, for all of the things that we have in Christ. God's word does that. And when we know it, and we speak it, and we share it, and we claim it, and we declare it, and we trust his name, he does the work. And I will dare say both of us are changed. Because it's really got kind of a little energy, Joel, like, I just talked about Jesus in the secondhand store. Like, that was pretty cool. Okay? And then the last question, is you can ask the Holy Spirit to give you the courage and wisdom to boldly share what Jesus has done in your life. That could be a one-on-one situation. It could be a caregiver at the hospital when you're there visiting a loved one. It could be being called on to pray for someone in a senior's home. You could be called to answer a question in the cafeteria at lunch. Like, why are you so happy all the time? Why does nothing ever bother you? There is no situation in our life that Jesus cannot use. There is no one, no situation that I'm aware of. Now, if I'm going to be a grumpy face, a cranky pots, I don't want to talk about Jesus. I think that God's plan for some people is, oh, well, they're pretty bad. They can stay that way. What scares me most about comments like that, and it was a prayer that God had put on my heart a couple weeks ago, to remind us all to never cheapen God's name by telling him what he can't or cannot do. To limit God because we've pronounced a condemnation or a judgment, or they'll never come to know Jesus, ever. So I'm not even going to bother praying. Do not limit the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with our words. Do not. He has far more for us. And sometimes we just need to trust him that he's doing it the right way for the right reasons, because it's his plan, not necessarily ours. There's a young guy I went to high school with. I was telling Ralph about this because we were part of a church camp. And Terry Burns, guy I went to high school with. In high school, he was voted the most likely to not succeed at surviving drugs and alcohol. He was a partier. He was a wild guy. You know, I'm just like, we did not hang around the same circles, just so you know. But he was popular and part of the football team and the hockey team and the this and the that, whatever. And none of that stuff is wrong, inherently wrong. But when we all left high school and went our ways and became adults and had kids and did ministry and such. So, what, 15 years later, we go to our church camp in Ontario at Lakeshore Camp in Cobourg. And during the family camp is when they would do commissioning an ordination of pastors in the district. And I'm sitting there, we're at the back of the tabernacle, I'm trying to keep my kids from tearing the place apart, blah, 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 on and on. And we go, and all of a sudden, our district superintendent says, and Reverend Terry Burns, and I'm like, What? Literally, I said, what? Out loud, like, what? And he turned his head trying to find him, like, you know, like, what? I had no idea that at some point, in some way, that somehow God had gotten to him through someone. And he's just now retiring from teaching. He's been a professor and a missionary throughout the Ukraine, Poland, all over the place. He's taught in the Quebec school boards, the Eastern Ontario school boards. He's got kids, family, grandkids, and just loving Jesus. And I'm still in awe after all these years. Like, I've not yet found an opportunity to say, hey, want to tell me the story of when you came to know Jesus? Because I'm a little confused, you know, about that. But God will always do what he sets out to do. He will accomplish it when we are obedient in what he asks us to do. God accomplishes it. Not our talent, not our ability to speak, not my ability to be funny. Like, that's not the issue. The issue is obediently giving to God what is his. And remembering, if we're using Jesus' name, or not even just if, when we use Jesus' name, our mandate in that is to know what he lived like here. What was his purpose in coming here? Because he didn't come to condemn. He came to redeem. He came to give people hope. He came to give people a new life. He came to restore each and every one of us into fellowship with God so that we could worship. So that we could call on his name and remember to keep him in the place he wants to be in our lives. Now that sounds like an awful lot of details. So the last slide is how to prepare your own story. And there's lots of little pieces of paper around if you want to write on or take your own notes. But first of all, you get to ask God for help. Ask him to help you with your story. After 50 years, does any of us remember all the little details? No. But when I said, God, I'm preparing this, what were the details? I can tell you what the lighting was like in the school gymnasium. I can tell you the name of the music group that was singing and the pastor who preached. I can tell you what the room felt like when I put my hand up and I walked up to the front. That'll be 50 years this September coming. It was a high school assembly. Life Unlimited was the music group. Terry Law was the pastor. Gary Skinner, part of Watoto, was my youth pastor. We were all there. I can tell you those details. I can't even tell you how I felt, how warm the room was. It got really warm when I went. I'm going to go say hi to Jesus. Nervousness, that does that. You can ask God for help with your story. And guess what? Number two, you get to be you. Be yourself in your story. Don't try to, I'm like so-and-so, the pastor this, and I write my stories out the way Billy Graham writes out a sermon and blah. Tell your story. Be honest and real with your story. This was what's going on in my life. This was a person who met me here and it made me feel this. Be you in your story. Third point is keep it real. Keep it real. Sometimes we have a tendency to elocute eloquently and make it sound far grander. I personally think the grandness of Jesus in my life is about as grand as I can handle. He is the grandest. He is the greatest. And I need for that to be real in my story. To keep it short, as I come to a conclusion, keep it to the point. How many of us remember talking to our parents when our kids were growing up and the kids started asking you questions about how were babies made? Anybody remember that? What was the best piece of common advice we all got? Just answer the question. Just answer the question. Don't go and do a one-hour monologue on the whole male, female, genetics, activity, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to answer the question. Answer their question with Jesus. In fact, you can let Jesus help you answer that question. Number five, I was joking with Ralph this week. I said, do we actually we have a deal when it comes to practicing our stories out loud. And I said, I asked a reminder. So, Pastor Ralph, when you start sharing with me on Wednesday and Thursday and maybe Friday, the outline and points of your message, do I really need to go to church on Sunday? Yes, I do. But you can practice it. If we memorize scripture, if we know the songs, and by the way, every song, my childhood heart is just, and in a moment, we're going to, in fact, if the worship team would like to come back, they could do that. And there's something to be said about things we remember. And when we remember the details of our story, of how we got to know Jesus, when it becomes so etched, not just in our mind, but in our spirit, it becomes a part of our, I want to say the word testimony, our witness, our engagement. It's a part of your story of Jesus in your life. And when you have a story about Jesus in your life, I promise you, he will use it by his Holy Spirit. We have one last song. Pastor, am I asking a couple of folks right now for their story? Kind of a surprise here for Nicole and Estella, but can you come and join us? We have two candidates here for baptism, if you would join us. I can start the story. Oh, two microphones. That's power. I better be careful. Nicole and I met, it'll be, what, 3 years this October? 3 years this October on the fateful day of our flood. Nicole was working for the company that did the restoration and the cleanup and everything, and she's like, this is so cool, it's a church we get to help, and here's my story, and she just kept going, and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And in the past about 5-6 months, we've been connecting over Facebook, and then talking about Estella, her daughter, and wanting the conversation about baptism. So, Nicole, would you tell us what brought you to this moment? Are you okay with holding a microphone?
No.
Okay, Pastor, could you? I'll be slower on the steps going down if you could hold the microphone. I'm good. Yeah.
Well, it's been 20 years or 21 years that I've been a mom. The last first time I was baptized was 10 years ago. And it brought me here today because I've really been struggling in the world. I come from many generations of family members in the occult. I did not grow up with Jesus or God. And I've been praying for a lot of years for my daughter to come to know Jesus and have her own faith and her own relationship. And I wanted to reconfirm my life to the Lord to let him know that he actually is the commander over my life now, for real. It's been almost 5 years actually since I've touched tarot cards or anything like that. I never will again. And I'm here today to experience this with my daughter because she means the world to me, and so does Jesus. So I wanted to share that with her.
Amen.